Welcome to Star for the Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk guest every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either join us on the phone, just dial 724-444-7444. Just follow the directions of the call ID, it's 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the Talks website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702. And if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. That's sfuoncall at gmail.com. Also, if you need to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is FranzGames, FranzGames. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My personal account is Paul Franz. So to find me on Twitters, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. It's PAULFRNZ. And of course, they have the podcast Twitter account called SFUOnCall. So it's SFUONCALL. And of course, I have a tertiary account called Franz Games where I announce client updates and different news relating to Franz Games. And of course, this lovely talkcast gets turned up podcasts available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Cole was busy working on Capsule number 53. Of course, blogs and art for the Gorn Master Starship book. He also uploaded quite a few Shapeways mini last week, which we started to discuss. Steve Petrick, of course, was busy working on SFB updates, also on the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on different parts of the newsletter. In addition, she was also busy managing the page on Facebook, you know, uploading those ships that Steve Cole was making sure that they were available, and also proofreading the communique. Moving on to the convention news, just a reminder that on Friday, which is going to be next Friday, July 20th, starts the second annual Battle Group Toronto SFB tournament. Battle Group Toronto is hosting a 3-day SFB tournament. It's going to be located at 986 Bloor, that's B-L-O-O-R, Street West, I'm hoping I pronounced it correctly, Toronto, Ontario, M6H1LB. Sorry, 1L8. I'm sorry, that's my own fault. The days of playing are going to be Friday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Also Saturday, same thing, 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Sunday, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. also. Of course, a standard SFB tournament with the standard tournament rules applying in Module T2012. Entrance fee for a single day is only $25. Now, if you want for the whole weekend, it's only $45 for the whole weekend. So even if you get there on Saturday and just want to do Saturday and Sunday, $45 does save you $5. And I'm assuming this is probably in Canadian dollars and not American. That would be my guess at this moment. Sebastian didn't say, but since this is happening in Toronto, I would think it's Canadian dollars. But anyway, kids can accompany by adult, no charge. And also visitors are welcome at no charge. You know, obviously, people who want to watch but not play. When it comes to SFB Online tournaments, we have the Masters tournament, the 2018 tournament run by Andrew Cook. And here there are 7 games that have been played. Of course, a lot more to be done. Rat 48, we have around 5 games played there, and the tree has been fixed. And actually, that should be 6 games because there's one game that has not been reported, but because there was an issue with the tree, i.e., Dave C was spelled D-A-C-E-C. Doesn't quite work. And when it comes to the Platinum Hat 2017 tournament run by Bill Schiller, we have a winner. That's David Zimbars defeats Peter Bakia in 5 turns. A little more than 5 turns. And if you want to see the screenshots, there's actually a number of screenshots of the action on the SFB Online page. There also have been shared on Facebook. Those have been shared to the Starfleet Battles Online. I think Starfleet Battles Online Federation Commander Online Group. I think that's right. Just look for Starfleet Battles Online, and you should be able to find it on, if you search in Facebook, you should be able to find it with no issue. Moving forward, when it comes to the library, unfortunately, nothing has been moving forward. It's still stuck at the same old, same old. Looks like just this past couple days ago, I got some updates from Frank so they can fix up some of the 3G SSDs. So I will hopefully get those posted. Obviously, unfortunately, they're nothing new. They're just updates for the old ones. So it still leaves us with only a 72.8% complete. As I've mentioned before, I need to sit down and actually do a evaluation of what actually is done and not done in the library. And check also with Jason, because Jason, I know, so maintains a list. And with that, that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one, the only, the Paul Franz, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, we have, well, me. And we have a wonderful chat room with us this evening. Tonight, we will be talking about something that we started last week and never got to finish, which is actually talking about the Shapeways Minis, you know, see what AB has given us, can have a quick look-see, maybe have a critique or two about those minis, you know, whether we think they're worthy of our money. Well, you know, that's one thing I like to do, is actually looking at the miniatures and actually kind of do a light review. You know, obviously, since I haven't bought any of these miniatures because it just came out, number one. Number two, I don't buy that many miniatures because last time I bought miniatures, okay, the first time I bought miniatures, I actually bought two miniatures. I painted them up. After that, I bought miniatures, but I've never actually painted them. So that makes things really kind of pointless, you know, because it's not just about the painting in some cases. Whatever. I hate you, Skype. So, anyhow, let's get back to what we were going to discuss. Sorry, I was fighting with Skype, and Lord knows I'm still fighting with Skype. That's why one of the reasons why I'm thinking about switching over to Discord. Because I'm tired of fighting with Skype. It's finally just, it's okay. Of course, we have some minor fighters that got announced, which are basically, they have the Lyran ZY, the Eldar ZY, the Saltorian ZY, and the Min ZY, which are, of course, anyone who knows anything about Starfleet battles knows that they're all basically just Klingon ZY fighters. But my understanding is that there's, okay, I think it's here. On, yeah, there it is. Okay, Gene just mentioned that the ones sold to other empires have circles for owning empires' insignia. Mostly this is marketing things. So new people looking for LDR, you know, Lyran, LDR, etc. fighters can find something. Meaning for those people who don't know the history behind Starfleet battles, can find the fighters for that empire without actually looking into it. You know, the Lyrans were actually, they bought fighters from the Klingons, you know, like, but most people who just are looked at the mirrors, hey, they look neat. You know, oh, let's look, see what this, I'm not sure what they would call it, race or empire at that point, because I'm not sure if they know the difference. You know, and it's not until Gene hits him with a frying pan that they actually realize the difference. So, but that's good to see. And also, there's a Spider IV heavy fighter, actually, which I did not take a look at that. That's one thing I forgot to do. Excuse me. I forgot to actually bring up the Shapeway store, which is kind of important if I'm going to look at those ships. Okay, noticed. Let's see if they get listed. See if I can find them relatively quickly. Now I mentioned about the Federation F101C, which is a heavy fighter, which I really like just because of the drones. I love the way the drones are represented. Okay, that's a Singer. Okay, there it is. Okay, of course, it's the last box on the first page, which is an interesting fighter for the Tholians. The reason I say it's interesting is in the design, because it kind of reminds me of what kind of boat? It's almost like a catamaran to a certain degree. This is more like a race boat, you know, where you have the kind of two pylons for these ultra speed boats. That's kind of what it reminds me of. Which actually, that's why it makes it kind of cool. I like it. What's the size of it? Switch to inches. So, a sneaking American actually can understand it. So, it's a half an inch by basically 2/3 of an inch by a 1/5 of an inch. So, they're pretty small. And that's for a single one? Yeah, looks like for a single one, it can be either $8 or $9. That's the only two possibilities when it comes to the materials. You have smooth fine detail or smoothest fine detail, which I totally understand. Given how small that piece is, how that miniature is, if you get it, you try to get one of the cheaper materials, what will happen in that case is that it'll just look like this blob, because it's such a small mini to begin with. So let's go back. Let's see what's the next thing. I'll take a quick look see at. There's the Klingon Klingon E7, which, to be honest, okay, I'm going to be honest here, and I'm not saying, if you like the Klingon ship, the Klingon minis from Shapeways, you'll love the E7, but personally, I don't like the smaller Klingons. You know, they look really scrunched and stubby. You know, which understandable is because they're small ships, and that's understood. But that's completely and utterly me. Now, some of the nicer ones I'm just looking at now, which is the Hydran Mohawk. New cruiser. That looks pretty. I like that. That's a pretty cool ship. Of course, some of the things I like about it, which is, I'm sure it shocks nobody here, which is I like some of the sharp angles on the ship. You know, it's not just this rounded mini where everything is round and there's no sharp edges whatsoever. And you can see, give me a 3D for a moment. So I think it is what I think it is. Yeah. At the front, you can see like the torpedo tubes for the Hellbores. Cool. But yeah, that's one of those things that I really like about the ship. Now, they also have an Iroquois, which, same basic idea, where they have the launch. I think they're the Hellboard tubes. I might be wrong about the Mohawk. I'm not sure if those are Hellboard tubes or they're fusions or what exactly they are, because I'm looking at the Iroquois. The Hellboard tubes are actually, they're thick tubes, and I think those are actually Hellbores. Now, when it comes to the Mohawk, I'm not so sure about those. I'd actually have to look up the SSD. Nice. I'm looking at the Federation Battlecruiser. Okay, let me look at this for a moment. Get all the way over here, thank you. They call it a Scale Battlecruiser WEM, W-E-M, which I think it has to do with the material that it uses. Which is kind of nice. I like the Federation. I like the ship because it's still, of course, it still is like the normal Federation heavy cruiser, but instead of having the nacelles up, you know, in a V formation, they're flat. Now, one thing, actually, let me look at the 3D model again, because normally the big giveaway is not it's locked up. Let's try that one more time. Oh, there it is. Okay, and Okay, there you are. Okay. I don't know what kind of... Okay, does it actually have... Let me just look at this for a moment. Okay. Okay, these carried phasers on the Ranger subclass, drones on the Kurov, Plasma F bought from the Klingons on the Bismarck, and photons on the shock-prone New Jersey/Montana subclass. This miniature covers all these subclasses. So basically, they've got this generic box on the neck. That's supposed to be represented of any of those. Though, in my mind, when it comes to the drone racks, I don't think the drone racks would necessarily need that big of a thing, but it's possible that they actually... Obviously, it's cheaper to do it this way. That is, instead of creating a different battlecruiser for the Kirov. But I can definitely understand, you know, the boxy part of the neck being, you know, plasmas or photons. But when it comes to phasers or drone racks, I'm not quite sure. Oh, cool. Lindsay Sterling is going to Alaska. Just a little chasing a little rabbit there. Yes. The Mohawk is 4 fusion beams. That's it. Never seen that one then. Okay, I've got to take a look at the SSDs. Do you know, Dave, you know what module that's in? Because when last time I looked at the Battlecruisers, that module, all I had was the 3, which was the Kirov, the New Jersey, and the one with the plasmas. I forget what that one is. Okay. So it is R5. Maybe is that something that they changed since? Well, it's possible they changed it since I bought it, which is many, many years ago. Got the beautiful Gorn. Okay. We've got the scaled Gorns. When it comes to the Gorns and the scaling, I'm still kind of debating on that. At the same time, without the scaling, they look kind of plain. Because I'm looking at the non-scaled, same thing with the Trinosaurus. It's really not as considered. Almost doesn't feel as modern. Okay, doesn't seem to have as much of a modern look. But as I said, I like sharp corners. Okay, good. Ooh. Oh, this is Gorn. Oh, yeah, which is always weird. the Gorn Dreadnought Cruiser, the DNC, which makes it really, really... Not really weird. I've seen differences. But obviously, it's normal Gorn, which is has a saucer in the front, has the midsection, which is, you know, a straight kind of pole with the kind of two wings, and then it has an elongated rear section, which is kind of like taking one of the saucer sections and then pull apart the two halves and then connect them. That's what it looks like. You know, this oblong is what you could consider it. You know, and that looks, you know, looks okay. You know, I think it well represents that ship. And as these look kind of cool, which is, of course, as I mentioned before, I'm kind of partial when it comes to the miniatures. I'm partial to the Omegas just because the Omegas have a different sense of I was gonna say style, but no, a different aesthetic. That's a better way of putting it. And look at this Singer heavy cruiser, which is quite cool. As I said, I like those angles. It's like six fingers, but they're into these triangles which point outward. So it's real, you know, it's a heavy cruiser. It's a nice one. Destroyer. Sure, it's not bad. I like the heavy cruiser better. Just by purely the looks. I'm going purely by the looks. And it looks like they got a couple of the Neo-Tholian cruisers. You got the Neo-Tholian light cruiser. More like, I like that. That's kind of nice. I like that. Well, it's kind of, if you look at it, it's kind of stubby like the smaller Klingon ships, but the thing is, the Tholians pull it off. It works well with the way the Tholian ships are represented because of, you've got this command module at the front, so you're not really, it's not like with the Klingons where the boom can be longer or shorter depending upon the size of the ship, you know, which then that's why it makes it look stubby. But the Neo-Tholian light cruiser does not look stubby at all. Of course, the weird part is I'm looking at the heavy cruiser, and it looks pretty darn, it's pretty darn close to the light cruiser. So, I'm not exactly sure what the differences are. Ah, we have the Romulans, the Fast Hawks, which is interesting. Let me look at these again. Let me see. I think there's two kinds. Yeah. There's one which is basically the bow, you know, the very front of the bow. The front of it just kind of slides off and has a flat bottom, which is not bad, but I think I like, there is one, you have the other ones. It's a Fast Hawk K, but it has the same kind of idea, but it's different. Instead of just kind of curving out, it's out and then curves in and then comes out, and then the bottom is not just a flat bottom. You have this kind of indentation. You know, it angles inward from that edge there. Angles inward, and there's some thickness to it, and I really like that about the Fast Hawk. In this case, the Fast Hawk K. I'm pretty sure the other one is not a Fast Hawk K. Still a Fast Hawk, but I don't think it's a K. Yep, it's a K. It's considered a K plus. I'm assuming the reason why you have K versus K plus is not about the differences in the actual ship themselves, but is a difference in the model. You know, they might represent the same ship. They're just two different approaches to the same ship. I mentioned the Lyrans last week, and of course, it was pointed out by. I'm gonna look this up real quick. Dave. That is. Oh. Okay, MG was pointing out that when it comes to the Fasthawk, it's the same ship, but one is the Mongoose version, and one is a different version, variant. It's a modification, it's a different angle, different take. For the most part, it looks for the most part the same except for the front of the ship. Now, I think I mentioned these last week. I know I mentioned the Lyran when it comes to the Aztec-ing. You know, when it comes to Lyran, I'm still debating on that, on whether I actually like the Aztec-ing or not. When it comes to Lyran overall, sometimes I like it and sometimes I don't. You know, it depends. I'm whimsical that way. But also there are multiple space dragons, which is cool, that go from the old male space dragon all the way to they have a young male space dragon too. Okay. Dave just mentioned that the Aztec-ing looks great if it's painted right, which I can understand that, because you can use the Aztec-ing itself to highlight the ship. You know, if where basically I'm assuming what you're talking about is the parts of the ship that are raised to the Aztec-ing itself is painted a different color than the base of the ship. And so it kind of, I would think that would kind of look kind of cool, because obviously I'm not seeing. These are pre-painted models. Well, sorry, not models. Pre-painted renderings is what they are. I know ADB does their best to actually try to get actual painted miniatures up on the store as soon as possible. The whole idea being that you actually can see what it really is going to look like. Because of, obviously, the biggest issue with these renderings. Yeah, the good thing is that you can see a 3D model of it. You can turn it and twist it and go, okay, what's it actually going to look like? The bad part about it, of course, is that this is surely a guess of what it actually is going to look like. You don't know what the final formula is. Obviously, it's going to look very close to it. But there's probably going to be some little tweaks here and there in because of the material that's used. So it might, have more or less detail. My guess would be, in most part, less detail. So, but moving forward, as I said, they have the multiple space dragons, which I'm not sure are those original. MG, do you know if the dragons are original, as in, or not using someone else's models, but someone from, I'm not going to say from ADB, but one of the artists that ADB hired. Yeah. Oh, okay. Cool. So, okay, cool. That's great. MG was mentioning that the adult male is closest to one that already existed by ADB artwork, and the others were actually renderings done by MG. Awesome, MG. And Dave was mentioning about the Aztec painting the Aztec as a different color. He said he never thought about that, and that would be really time consuming. I totally agree. Obviously, there are ways around that to make it easier, I would think. It still would be kind of, you'd be careful about it. The whole idea of kind of almost spray painting it to a certain degree, and then being able to like wipe some of the paint off from the Aztec-ing if you'd be real light touched. Now, obviously, that's going to be really tough to do. You know, yeah, it's going to be, that's something that's going to be real tough to do because you have to have really light touch. I don't think even using like a cotton ball or anything like that would actually help in that situation. Okay, so Dave's saying you should paint the Aztec first and then use a skinny brush to do the hole, i.e. to highlight highlight that. I'm assuming you do your best to try to make sure you don't get the paint between the raised panels, because otherwise, you know, it might not work out quite as nice. Okay. So it's mentioned. He said that I got it right. I'm just double checking, make sure. I think I hit everything. Singers, New Neapolitan. Okay, the Aztec King. Yep. Let me just do one quick thing, which is go to the next page. Okay, there they are. Okay. On the next page, it shows the Liren, LDR, Seltorian, and Wind ZY fighters. I don't remember that. Sorry, I'm looking at second page. I'm not sure if I even mentioned this one before, which we might have missed it, which is Romulan Gladiator 3K Assault Fighter, which actually kind of, I'm not sure how you describe that. Because it definitely is, it's very true to how the Gladiator is supposed to look. At least according to other artist renderings that Steve Cole has done. Have it included as part of the rules. I'm not sure if Steve Cole's been doing the renderings or someone else has been doing the renderings. Yeah, Dave mentioned that the work for painting the Aztec-ing is very detailed work, and say it really still doesn't always get the Aztec-ing right and understood. It's difficult things to do. Yeah, I'm looking at some of the older fighters. I'm pretty sure I remember going through a lot of the fighters last month because it was really fighter heavy. Which is kind of important if you're going to play in like campaigns and you want to show them as miniatures and so forth. The big question when it comes to miniatures is, what are you going to use them for? Or are you just going to have them so that they are displayed, or you're actually going to play with them? And obviously, I know some people, the whole idea of some of the ships is not to paint them to be perfect. Basically, buy the cheapest miniatures possible, do a quick like spray paint job on them, just so you have them represented as part of a fleet, and put them on the board, and so you don't care if you mess them up or not. You don't care if the cat chews them or a dog throws them up. You know, chews on and then throws it up. You don't care. Oh, yes. MJ was mentioning that the fighters I'm looking at are the newer 100. Okay. 1/285th. Size fighters, you know, 1/285. Wow. I'm just dealing with the kind of fractions. But, yeah. Looks really nice. Okay, with that, I think we'll move onward and forward to the next thing on the agenda. Also, if you were to buy one of... Let me think about this for a moment. Which is, if I was to buy one ship, what's the one that I would recommend? At the moment, one of my favorite ships of this batch is the Singer Heavy Cruiser. I think that's one of my favorites at the moment. Also, there's that Federation fighter, the 101C. Because the thing is, I like the 101C just because of the drones and the representation. But also, I like the Singer one just because of... I like the sharpness of the angles. You know? So... Between the two, I think I would still... just trying to be honest about this. I'm going to say... I think the Federation F-101C fighter, I think I like that better. Just because of the drones. Because that's a unique feature of how well, you know, they're actually shown on it. And I think gives you a really good idea of what they look like. Okay, now with that, we'll move on to FedCom tactics. Obviously, the one thing about FedCom tactics is that for the most part, FedCom tactics and SMB tactics are pretty close. Here is the issue, of course, with FedCom. When it comes to trying to apply SMB tactics to FedCom, there are some issues. For example, the rules are different. Yes, kind of FedCom is considered to be a light version of SFB, but it is not. Yes, a lot of the basics are still there, but it's not the same. One of the things that is obviously different is going to be the there's some real basic ones which are kind of blare out, you know, just kind of stand out. Number one, there's a limitation on the amount of reinforcement that you can do. So the whole idea of sit and spin doesn't work. You're just asking to be beat up on. Number two, there's no wild weasel, which changed tactics greatly. So there's only two ways of dealing with seeking weapons. One, run like hell. Or heck, sorry. And number two, fight it, you know, shoot it down. Obviously, those two tactics are viable in SFB, but you always have that get out of jail free card, but it is not really a get out of jail free card itself because of you're restricted to speed four and you can't fire and things like that. So, while we just have their own limitations. Also, there's the biggest difference, which catches every single time I play FedCom, I get caught by this. Just because being an SMB player, you're used to having a certain amount of control. You know, when it comes to movement, and more than movement, but the ability to react to incoming threats, i.e., plasmas and drones and things like that. So, because of basically you have the four subpulses that you move, and then you can have like a drone hit you. And if that happens, obviously you have to then do the defensive rolls and so forth. So it's not that damage is not immediate. So obviously there are other things that obviously make a difference. What comes to that is that, okay, let's say that got hit or fire on impulse. What would have been a subpulse 2. You can't do that anymore because in addition to 4 subpulses, you have all this you have like 4 impulses of movement, and then every, it's like in SAB, if you only allow people to fire every 4th impulse. But and I think that would be akin to actually FedCom. Then there's of course the ability to cancel movement, which allows you to do something which is really, when you think about it, it's kind of whacked when it comes to SAB terms, because SAB you can't just stop and spin, because that's basically what you do when you cancel movement. You can actually have it so that, okay, you're supposed to, you have to move 4 hexes forward before you can turn. Well, if you cancel movement for 4 impulses, you're doing the same thing. Which, in some cases, is a really nice necessary evil, i.e., when you want to control the distance to a greater degree, where you don't want it to be hit at all. You know, on your shield number 1, if you can stop it, you know, at against, especially against fixed targets, they really have a disadvantage because of this. Where you can stop at like range 16, fire, and then keep on canceling movement until you actually can turn. And it's almost like a HET, but it is not. It doesn't use the HET bonus or anything like that. MG was mentioning that he's played FedCom a few times in the past month, and the biggest thing that they ran into was firing everything on Impulse 8 tactic, which isn't much fun all the time. Yeah, oh, I agree there, but at the same time, if you're firing an Impulse 8 and you don't know what you're doing after Impulse 8, you've got an issue, period, no matter what your game, because the whole idea of SFB as a game was that you had to plan out your turn. And if you think when moving to FedCom that you no longer have to plan out a turn, a kind of attack, you've got nothing coming, because of you've got the issue of if someone hits you early, you can't use up all of your power to reinforce your shields. You know, or, you know, obviously, you have, even within the limitations, because of, especially if you plan on firing back that same turn. You know, that means, okay, you might not have to, might not be able to reinforce a shield because of you want to fire that, like, photon, a fully overloaded photon in the next couple impulses. So, yeah, you know, that's one of the things you have to keep in mind. Now, obviously, another one of the great things about the ability to cancel movement is the ability to almost dynamically sit and spin. You know, because of, I have to double check the rules, but I'm pretty sure you can do this, which is if you have enough power, in theory you can, actually no, if you turn, you actually have to turn out of the hex. I'm pretty sure that is the case. Actually, I'd have to check the rules on that to see whether in FedCom, when you turn, whether you can't cancel movement at the same time you turn. Yeah, I'm pretty sure, I feel pretty confident you can't do that, because you're still, you need to do movement itself, which is still not bad. So you're now moving like a speed four, which can be moving where you can have a single you have a mode of one. Not, it's a turn mode, not a turn mode of one. Well, maybe a turn mode of one. I'm sorry, I get confused between of you have like a turn mode of a ship, you know, whether it's a what class of turn mode it is, whether it's A, B, C, D, E, F, like you have the double A, you have even have G. Must be a pretty big ship to have a turn mode of G. Actually, obviously, there's a point of diminishing returns when it comes to turn modes like that, and going from like E to F or F to G versus going from like A to B. When it comes to the differences in speed. But anyhow, one of the things that obviously that's one of the things, you know, that you can do is, which is pretty nice. Obviously it's gonna cost you in power, but it can allow you to arrange that tactical situation better, you know, more often, because as I mentioned, there's the whole thing with you move four sub-impulses, possibly depending upon your speed. You might move one of those sub-impulses, or you might move zero, or you might even move all four, depends on your speed. Which actually brings me up to one of those things that you can do in FedCom, you can't do in SFB. And that is, in theory, and this is completely theory, my dear friends, is that in theory, a ship can actually outrun a plasma. I know it's goofy. The whole idea that, especially in SFB terms, you can never outrun the plasma. You could be going speed 31, but you still can't outrun the plasma. Well, my dear folks, you can. In FedCom, because of you actually can pay for that acceleration on every single impulse, which means you can actually move 32 impulses, which is the same number of impulses that a plasma actually can do. So that's obviously something to keep in mind. Would you do it for every single impulse for a turn? Probably not. That being more, I think, more to the point of anything else, it's not just the amount of power, but that's 32 impulses. You won't be running away from, most probably you won't be running away from a plasma torpedo for that long period of time. You might do that, you know, obviously if you have your opponent, which is kind of daisy chaining them, you know, fires one, waits for you, run, you know, just, you know, run away, and then they come around and go, okay, let's launch another one. So, obviously, another one of those limitations when it comes to FedCom is going to be those plasma weapons again. You only get one kind, and if I recall correctly, I forget if FedCom you have pseudos or not. It's been a while since I played FedCom. And as I've mentioned, when it comes to FedCom and Andros, you know, the way the panels work is quite a bit different. I don't think you track the energy for individual panels. And of course, to me, the biggest thing when it comes to the Andromedans, and I'm sure if any of you have listened to me long enough, you've heard me rail against this, which is there's no way to do a dump, you know, a panel dump at all. Which I think it's kind of goofy, because that's one of the ways that the Andromedans protect themselves. That's how they have a decent amount of defense while they're offensive weapons aren't nearly as strong as the same kind, same size ship. You know, the amount of weapons they have for the same size ship. So, but you know, so and just well, again, when it comes to the drone users, they don't have all the toys either. So that for the plasma chuckers, be consoled by that. That they don't have all the fancy, you know, ECM armor, external armor kind of drones that are possible. That doesn't exist. They don't exist. Actually, I think with that, we're going to wrap it up for the evening. I know it's kind of short this evening, but I'm struggling here for a bit, and I don't want you just kind of just to... Okay, so reminder, MG minus mentions that there is no pseudos, so definitely it's another one of those issues that, you know, you can't fake out your opponent when it comes to plasma. You can't launch plasma and say, oh, yeah, that wasn't... That wasn't real, you know. That you know, hit it and it wasn't real, and then they're still bearing down on you, and they whack you hard. So, which again, it's one of those things that it's another one of those toys that you no longer have, which is can be annoying. Obviously, that's one of those things about Fedcom itself is that it puts up its own challenges. You know, the greatest thing in the world is limiting your ability to do things because of what you're going to do. You're going to try to work around that, you know, whether that means being a little more creative about how you do things, or something else. No. So we'll wrap up with that. So had a nice little discussion about the latest, Shapeways minis that we had. You know, we got released this past month. I finally got around to looking at them and giving my review, my quick reviews. Obviously, my favorite miniature of the month is the Federation F-101C fighter. I think it's really neat and definitely worth purchasing. Hopefully, you'll get a whole squadron on them because I think it's kind of goofy for such a small miniature. It's actually pretty large, considering it's supposed to be a fighter. But getting a whole bunch of them, so you can represent the full squadron, I think it was always neat. And we talked about a little bit about Fedcom tactics, some limitations when it comes to Fedcom versus SFB, and things always to keep in mind when it comes to that, and things that don't translate when it comes to SFB to Fedcom. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.